Dr. Britt Poulsen. I hope I'm getting Dr. Poulsen's name right here.
Okay, excellent.
He is the one who perhaps can answer this question for us. Dr. Poulsen is the founder of Clarity Compass Consulting. That is a leadership consulting firm specializing in transformative executive coaching and leadership development programs. Now, Britt has been integrating the fields of management consulting, business and psychology, and leadership coaching since 1983. He holds a PhD in psychodynamic Jungian and group psychology from the Pacifica Graduate Institute. Now, Dr. Poulsen, you have a number of degrees here, and you are talking about perhaps communicating better. How can that help members of Congress as far as finding some common ground? Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Yeah, I think the key that you just said is the common ground. In fact, one of the things that I talk about is mutually beneficial objectives, which are what is it that we have in common? Even if our intentions are different, what are some objectives that we have that we can get behind and rally behind? And so often in the debates, we're seeing it's where we're different and where we're trying to be right. And one of the things that I really focus on in my work is the question of, would you rather be right versus effective? And so many of the debates that we see are about, I want to be right about my philosophy of life, my perspectives, how I approach life, my lifestyle. And in arguing where I want to be right, I miss out on where I could be more effective. And the place where we could be effective is finding these mutually beneficial objectives, outcomes that we could actually rally behind and join together in.
I see. And have you thought about exactly where exactly does Congress go wrong? So is it that they are trying to outdo one another? Is it that they're trying to eradicate the other one from, say, political existence in a political way? I mean, what is it exactly? Like, where are they exactly going wrong as far as your theory is concerned?
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that, eradicate the other from existence. Because that comment invites me kind of to a deeper level of thinking on it and sharing of it. Because I think that at some level, that's what's happening. We're showing up in Congress. We're saying we want to put this bill forth, or we have this agenda that we think is really helpful, whether it's healthcare or whatever. But then when we look at the political parties, there's something there, especially the direction we're headed, where the other party is seen as a threat. It's a threat to my existence. And I become more invested in protecting my existence than I am getting the things done I need to get done. There's a phrase I like is, to defend myself is to attack the other. And so I think that's what we're seeing is that, you know, each party, I'm not even picking on a party here, each party is saying, hey, I'm just defending myself. I am just saying that what I am, the positions I'm taking are legitimate. There's a way of life that I'm standing behind, and I'm just defending that. And the other party's saying the same thing. But energetically, that's received by the other as an attack, which means I have to defend myself more, which is perceived as attack, which means I have to defend myself more. And so, I mean, I know you're being playful when you said eradicate the others from existence, but at some level, I believe if you're watching debates, there's something that primal going on, and that fear place interferes with the being productive. And
well,
so we'd rather be right than effective.
Well, the reason why I actually specifically use the word eradicate is simply because there's such a need for one side or the other to say we have to have a supermajority, like take certain states, whether it's California or New York, for example, there are supermajorities. Well, specifically, say let's say California. I mean, that has a supermajority in both chambers. Republicans don't even exist there, And that used to be a state where it was relatively bipartisan to the, and now they have practically, and I say politically, eradicated the Republican Party there. And the funny thing is that they still blame the problems that they have in that state on the Republican Party, even though everything that is done in that state now is pretty much by fiat, by the by Democrats' choice. You know, the Republican Party can't really do anything. So that is what I pretty much mean. I mean, at this point in the Senate, you can only really do anything unless you have 60 votes. So that's what I'm sort of getting at here. Is it just an issue of just kind of getting rid of the opposition so there really isn't any problems going forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at one level, how you're describing it is almost like a Monopoly game. Mm-hmm. And if I can just get my Monopoly, then I can call the shots. And to me, that makes sense, and it's very logical and cerebral. But as true as that is, what I'm looking at underneath that is just the fact that there's so much vehemence between the parties themselves. There's a part, I mean, I hate to sound radical here, but there's a part of me that almost wants to start a moderate party where all the moderates get together, and then the political conservatives and liberals can kind of help influence the moderate party. Because right now the polarization is beyond just kind of the, okay, what's the chess game or monopoly of the states and of the Senate. There's something really unhealthy, more fundamentally going on in just the vehemence, the parties. There's not the cooperation that's there. One of my favorite questions in the debates was, hey, is there something nice you guys could say about each other? And I could just feel myself relaxed there, because what we're looking at is not just the chess game, it's the divisiveness, the political split in the country, where people are hating each other and becoming violent, let alone taking over states and senates. It's something that's happened in the fabric of the country that I believe the Congress needs to start modeling coming together more than just trying to win.
And we're talking to Dr. Britt Paulsen about the need for some sort of consensus building or civility, perhaps, here in Congress and beyond, here on the David Webb Show, Sirius XM Patriot Channel 125. And if you want to join the discussion, give us a call, 866-95-PATRIOT, 866-957-2874. Doctor, I'm interested in this from a couple of different angles, but I mean, in a way, isn't it sort of a kind of a political Darwinism? I mean, you know, are the strongest going to survive? Are the loudest going to be heard, and so on? I mean, you know, when you talk about the idea of having that moment in a debate where you say something nice about the other guy, it's usually this kind of canned, you know, comment about, oh, somebody has a very nice spouse, or they have nice children, or they
kids,
have a nice,
yeah,
dog. I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but I've heard it said that, you know, when you try to kill somebody with kindness, the problem is they don't actually die.
So I appreciate what you're saying in terms of, are we acting nice? But I think there's something there where you said, we're talking about consensus building or civility. And I want to separate those two. Where civility is, I'm just being nice. I'm saying, oh, you got great kids. Oh, you got great kids. But really, you're a jerk, but you got great kids. But the building consensus, I think, is the key. And so it's, to me, if the Democrats win or the Republicans win, we're actually missing the boat. But I like on David's website, he talks about, if I can remember it right, he talks about conservatism. Conservatism is the tradition holding the stability, going for slow change rather than radical change. And I really like that in terms of a conservative role. The conservatives hold the center. The conservatives provide the stability. We need that stability. The Democrats, the liberals are to say, hey, what do we do about the margins? What's the new thing coming in? How do we modify ourselves? That there's a natural healthy tension, where if we create the consensus building, it's not about being nice for the sake of being nice or pretending. There's something there where there's roles the conservatives play that are vital, and there's roles that the liberals play that are vital. And it's for us to hold that dance And as soon as we started talking about the Darwinism or winning, we've already lost.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Paulson, as far as examples of your of some of your theories being used, shall we say, somewhere in government, whether it's been local, state, maybe even on a federal level, for that matter, where have you seen it being practiced?
It's funny you ask that, because I just was talking to a client of mine who's a former mayor just today, and he was saying one of the things that he had to create a discernment with was, you know, whether somebody was open to dialogue or not. And I think this is a key piece, is deciding, and so I'll just use him as an example, is he would decide, if, as he was working with somebody, whether they were liberal or conservative, if they were a person who was open to dialogue, or if there was a, or if they were the kind of person who's just going to keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. So in his, when he was mayor, he was trying to create a body of leaders, liberal and conservative, where they were people who were open to dialogue. And where he could create that, there was movement, there was effectiveness. But where there's just the people who are just repeating the same things over again, and myopic was the word he used just today, then actually you're creating a dysfunctional government. And when we're talking about California and the Democrats running things, the Republicans not having a voice, to me that's a symptom of a thinking. It's the thinking that's broken. It's they're already in the win-lose scenario. And just the example that we brought up earlier, that's already a loss, as opposed to, all right, how can we, even though the Democrats may be in charge, how can we still pull the best from the Republicans? And where the Republicans are in charge, you know, where can we still pull the best from the Democrats? It's the mindset that's killing us. What I call the reality maps that we're living from are what are creating the challenges.
Uh-huh. And what about the whole idea of tit for tat? And what I mean about that is you have the Democrats who, for whatever reason, they will maybe block a nominee during a Republican administration, and then the Republicans, the next time around when there's a Democrat in office, they'll block a nominee of a Democrat president, and then the cycle goes on and on and on and on and on and on. What do you see about that, and how do you see that essentially being concluded, if it ever concludes?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's a great question, because the challenge is we have control right now, whoever we happen to be, and we want to get our person in. And so let's try to block the opposing party from getting in there, especially if it's like a justice seat or something like that. So it's, I don't know, what comes up for me when you say that is Lincoln. Who actually, you know, brought onto his cabinet a lot of the people who are on his opposing parties, and I think that, you know, Lincoln, I'm a little bit touched as I say this, but you know, Lincoln is a great president, and he's considered a great president, and I think that's an example of where he was willing to take the risk of moving from tit for tat or constant perpetual political movement or posturing, and say, hey, I'm actually going to bring in some diversity. I'm going to bring in those people who oppose me because I think they're the best people, or I want to create dialogue rather than just creating everybody of the same thought. And I love your question, because it's a what I think Lincoln's inviting us to there is a noble place.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what we're missing is, We're trying to win rather win our party rather than win the bigger game.
Got it.
The nobility's missing.
All right. Dr. Paulson, thank you so much for calling in. We really do appreciate it. This was Dr. Britt Paulson. He was the founder of, or still is the founder of, Clarity Compass Consulting. Go check out his website. That is clarity-compass.com. And check out what Dr. Britt Paulson has there, and some of his thoughts on communicating in a more effective way. And perhaps some members of Congress could possibly use those lessons. Thank you very much, Dr. Paulson. We really do appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, truly. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure thing.